Okay, so we did the first shiur on Hilchos Pidyun HaBen last week, and then I realized that it never actually was recorded, so especially in lieu of doing the shiur this week, because I have a wedding tonight, I figured I would go and review the first Pidyun HaBen shiur, and we would, this would be a short version of that shiur, and this way we'd be able to repost it and serve as a good review as well. So the mitzvah of Pidyun HaBen is found in the Parsha's Korach, in last week's Parsha, when the Pasuk describes that you're going to, it's found in other places as well, but the main source of it that describes actually the halacha and how it was done, and what the amount of money that was going to be used. So that was found in last week's Parsha. So now the Torah says here, quotes the Pasuk, Yuvi ben Chodesh, it's going to be a month, Tifdesh, and Mitzvah's Asiya, I'll call Yisrael, Sheyolad lo ben, that he's Shehu b'chor mi'imo mi'Yisrael, that if he has a son who's the firstborn from from his Jewish mother, b'chol makom b'chol zman, that he's going to do that pidyon, and so long as he is not from he's going to be poded, he's going to be redeemed from a kohen. So now the Torah actually continues, and let's try to knock this off first. The Torah actually continues, Yimishlu Shnei Roshim Tzarech Lifdosu Be'Eser Salayim, that if he has two heads, so then you would use 10 Salayim in order to redeem it. So just to discuss this actually does not get quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but the context of it is an interesting idea that the Gemara tells us and discusses in Meseches Menachos, tells us that they request, Menachos is discussing the area of Hilchos Mezuzah, Hilchos Tefillin, etc. So on the topic of Hilchos Tefillin, so they raise the question, hey, what do you do if somebody has two heads? Is he going to be chayiv in one pair of tefillin or two pairs of tefillin? So they yelled at the person who asked the question. So then the Gemara says, that they came in. Actually, let me just pull this out here. This is Daf Lamed Zayin in Menachos. So it says, if he only has two heads, so which one does he put on? So Rabbi says, kum galei. He says, get out of here. Right, we're going to Chayrim, because that's a ridiculous question. Why would anybody ask that? So meanwhile, a certain person came in and he said, by the way, I just had a child with two heads. So kama b'inun lemesa for the Kohen. How much do I have to give to the Kohen? And then someone else came in and says, that you got to give 10 salim in that case. So there are some who understand that person who came in, the second one who came in with the psak, was none other than Eliyahu Hanavi coming to give that point. Meaning it sounds like saying that it is conceivable that you would have a kid. So Gemara says, well, wait a second, is that really true? But we know that you only, the Gemara says, you wouldn't the Bechor Ha'adam, that he needs to actually live 30 days. If he dies within 30 days, he would not... anybody who lives, tamulomar ach, meaning only somebody who's 30 days or not. So he responds by saying, well, the begulgolas talarachmana, that there it is based on the headcount. It's questionable what that means. So what exactly is the Gemara saying over here? So I mean, the Gemara, in pushing down Rebbe, pushing down the question of what do you do when you have 30 when you have two heads with regards to tefillin, so he pushes it down by saying, I don't want to deal with that question because it could never ever possibly occur. So that then they raise the question. Well, if somebody comes in and says, hi, I just had a child that had two heads. So if that's the case, so that seems to be a proof against Rebbe to say, hi Rebbe, why are you pushing this guy's question down? We see that it does exist, that the person, that it is possible that a person would have two heads. To which the Gemara questions that by saying, well, why would you be chayav pidyon haben in the first place? He's not going to live for 30 days. To which the Gemara answers, some kind of answer saying, well, this is going to go by a head count. So the way that Rishonim understand that is that this is saying, yeah, you're right, the child is not going to live past 30 days, but when it comes to this issue of pidyon haben for a two-headed child, this is the exception to the rule. We're not going to require the child live 30 days, as opposed to most other boys that are born, they are required to live 30 days in order for pidyon haben to take place. Now, you have a bit of a problem, because that seems like the question of the Gemara that this was coming to resolve with regards to Hilchos Tefillin is still going to stand. Right, that sounds like what we're saying is somehow this is the exception to rule. You would do a pinyon haben on this child, despite the fact that there's no way that a child with two heads would be able to live more than 30 days. To which the Gemara, and that's how the Gemara resolves itself. If that's the case, so then Rebbe was never really disproven, and Rebbe, in fact, was justified in yelling at the person who raised the question of the person with two heads, because apparently it really is not possible for somebody with two heads to be able to live to be that old. So that's the whole question. That whole Gemara is questionable. What exactly is going on there? The Torah does quote it. For some reason, it does not get quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There is in Eddie Reichman's book about the anatomy of halacha. So there he has a chapter about two-headed beings, and he discusses this a little bit as to what is going on here. But the internal question within the Gemara is questionable. Again, the fact that it gets quoted in the Torah, it doesn't get quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is surprising. And not exactly sure what to do with that. But anyways, back into the Beis Yosef here in Sif Shin Hei. So the Gemara here quotes a couple of things, and then the Beis Yosef says that that you can redeem him from a Kohen and not from a Kohenes. So where does he get that from? So the Beis Yosef says, yeah, that's the sheet of the Rush at the end of Bechoros, and he brings a proof from Hazaroa, from Gemara in Maseches Chulin, and not, like it says in Rashi in Maseches Kiddushin, where Rav Kahana, apparently he took a Sudra Liftos Haben, the Rav Kahana, Lohaya Kohen Ella Bishvil Ishto Shehaisa Kohenes. That Rav Kahana took a Sudra in order to be as an exchange for Pinyon Haben, and the Gemara there comments that he wasn't actually a Kohen, rather is on behalf of his wife who was a Kohenes. So that sounds like he's Rav Kahana of all people, is receiving this gift as a that he was receiving this gift despite the fact that he was not a Kohen. So what exactly is going on there? So the Rush at the end of Maseches Bechoros, so there is Maseches Bechoros, and then at the very end of Maseches Bechoros, so a lot of Bechoros, even though it isn't Seder Kachim, is actually L'maisa B'zman Hazeh, and actually certainly came up with regards to Bechoros that were born. It's somewhat, even though generally it should be a Kiev to bring a Korban, the Bechor is a Korban, so that we don't do, so you got to figure out a way to avoid that. And then with the issues of Pinyon Chamor, so that's also something that is still a practical halacha of Bizman Hazeh, which we'll be covering over the next couple of months. So there the Rush says, so at the end of Maseches Bechoros, the Rush gives sort of a compendium, which is called Hilchos Pinyon Bechor. So that took a little while to track it down, but that's the story there. So the Gemara says, so the Rush here says that it says in the end of Maseches Chulin, right? Ula Yahiv Matanta Lekohanta Alma Kasavar Ula Kohen Vafilu Kohenes, that Ula would gave a gift to a female Kohen. So therefore, we assume that Ula means a Kohen, and even a Kohenes could be given. So the Gemara asks Esfei Rava Liula, but Minchas Kohenes Necheles Minchas Kohen Ein Necheles, that the Mincha of the Kohen is different than anybody else's korban mincha. But generally speaking, the mincha is brought, and whatever is in the kmitza then gets put onto the mizbeach, and whatever is left then gets left over for the balabas to be able to consume. However, if it was a kohen, so then the kohen is has to put it all on the mizbeach. He's not going to be is left for the Kohen to consume. However, in the case of the of a Kohen's mincha, so it doesn't get offered. What about a Kohenes? So the Gemara there says that Kohenes would be in the category of a Yisrael, that they would be able to, that a Kohen would be able to eat it. So that indicates that the Kohenes would not be able to receive it. So the so that's the Gemara Maseches Chulin, indicating that women are not able to receive the Matnos Kohuna. So I don't know, so there's a little bit of a discussion about whether it's specific, sometimes that it says Aron Uvanov, and sometimes it says for Kohanim, so maybe you would distinguish when it says Aron Uvanov, that means that only goes to males, while when it goes to Kohanim, maybe it goes to Koheneses as well, but the Rush takes it as that Gemara indicates that women are not able to receive
the Matnos Kahuna. So the Gemara, and he says, and not like the Pshat of Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin. So what's that talking about? The Pshat of Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin. So there the Gemara is having a discussion with regards to giving something of value, that with regards to Kedushin, so you need to be able to have a value. So with regards to the Pinyon HaBen, are you able to give something that's that of value if it's more than Chamesh Shalayim? Or what about if it's less than Chamesh Shalayim, but subjectively it would be valuable to that person, for that for him it would be worth that amount? So for one of the examples that the Gemara gives, that that Rav Kahana took this sudra, that he took this garment, he paid pinyon aben, in exchange for pinyon aben. So Amar Lei, so they said, Lidi chazi li chamesh shalayim, he says, to me it's worth 5 salayim. So Rav Ashi says, yeah, to him it's worth 5 salayim, because he's a gavaraba, and therefore, and he needs to wear it in order to cover himself. But most people, it's not going to be that valuable for. So if him, so for him, for that particular person, it's objectively that valuable because of his status. Anyways, that's the comment that the Gemara gets. We have to get into Shavuot Kesef a little bit further down the road, but for our purposes, it's not so. And they point out that there's some kind of misprint. The Rashi does not really discuss this, but Tosfos discusses it. The Tosfos points out that says that that it sounds like Rav Kahana. That there's a Gemara in Maseches Psachim that quotes Rav Kahana and indicates there that he is not a Kohen, because there the Gemara Maseches Psachim discusses this. Actually interesting that is inappropriate for a non Kohen to marry a Bas Kohen, and vice versa, that the Kohanim should continue to marry each other. And the Gemara there comments that Rav Kahana, that he blamed the something unfortunate that happened to him. So he blamed that on the fact that he married a Kohenis. Clearly, implication being that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. So we see here that Rav Kahana seems to be accepting the Pidyon HaBen. So how could he be accepting the Pidyon HaBen if Rav Kahana was not a Kohen? That's the Tosus's question. So Tosus gives two answers. He says, first of all, maybe there were two different Rav Kahanas, right? So that would resolve the issue. We're talking about different people. And then the second answer that he gives is the Yishvil Ishto HaYelukeach, that he was taking it on behalf of his wife. That an Ishas, that even that a Kohenis who married, she retains her status as a Kohenis, and she's able to receive Matos Kahuna, so much so that even her husband is able to receive it on her behalf. So that would sound like if a man married a Kohen. So like my grandfather, he married his wife, my grandmother, was a Bas Kohen. So potentially my grandfather should be able to receive Pinyon HaBen money for Pinyon HaBen according to this answer. According to this answer in Tosfos. So is that accepted? So that is specifically what the Rush is rejecting. The Rush is saying that as opposed to that, we don't assume that way. That's crazy. Based on the Gemara about the Menachos, he says that it's clear that a Bas Kohen, a female Kohen, does not retain that status. She's not able to receive Matnos Kahuna. And therefore, we have to accept that this Rav Kahana in Maseches Psachim that was receiving the Pinyon HaBen is different than the Rav Kahana in Maseches Psachim who got in trouble for the fact that he was married, or claimed that he got in trouble because of the fact that he married a Bas Kohen when he in fact was a Yisrael. So that's how you would have to decipher that. That's the opinion of the Beis Yosef, and it seems like that would be the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as well. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, so Shulchan Aruch Shin Hei. So the Shulchan Aruch there says the mitzvahs ase to be poda kol ish mi Yisrael benoshal b'chor imo ha Yisraelis. The hay salayim, that if both the male and the female are non kohanim or non levim, both yisraelim, so then you would take the bechor male. If the male is a bechor, you would be po to him. Behay salayim shehem chuf chaf. And it gives the amount, the measure, what the measure is exactly, we'll get to at a later date. And the Ramah discusses exactly what that would be as well. So then it continues on and says that ain isha chayevis liftos espinah, that it's a male's responsibility, not a female's responsibility, that the female who's not subject to pinyon HaBen, that Gemara tells Maseches Kedushin, they are not required to do it on their kid's behalf. Now, if there is a kid that is born without a father, or perhaps with a non-Jewish father, so what exactly is the status of that kid? So potentially he would need to do a pinyon aben. Whose responsibility is it? So that is a question maybe we'll get to down the road. So then what these five siloim were given to the Kohen, bekesef uveshavakesef, from anything that he wants, except for, but it has to be metaltalin, has to be movable objects, it can't be karka, avadim would be considered like karka. Shtaros also is not really considered to be something that would be used for pinyon. And if you did it with those things, so then even b'dieved, that kid would not be considered to be poda. Okay, but what was interesting is the so there's a couple interesting ideas that are brought forth in the Piskei Tshuva. One is the issue of whether we do forcing the son, okay, the force, how you force the father, things like that, but then maybe we'll get to also down the road. And then there's a couple of tshuvos of the Chassam Sofer here that give a little inkling as to some of the issues with that that we'll deal with. So one is in Piskei Tshuva Dalet, so Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Chassam Sofer, Simon Reish and Beis, that he was asked that when the Yom Pidyon HaBen came, and there was no Kohen, there's no adult Kohen, there's only a Katan. So, or a Shliach on behalf of that Kohen. So can he receive the five Soleim on behalf of that Kohen? Can you do it by way of Shliach or by way of a Kohen Katan? And he said that, well, that potentially you could, meaning if it's a shliach sent by a kohen, this is not impossible. You know, if you have a small town, or certainly in Europe there are small towns, there was no kohen present. So can you do it by way of a shliach? So the answer is, yeah, that would be okay. However, if the kohen didn't know about it, so then that would not work. What's he talking about here? So there is a concept of zachen la'adushul l'fanot. And when it comes to the halachos of pinyon aven, there's two aspects to it. There's the yoredeya aspect, meaning there's the mitzvah aspect of that is something you need to go ahead and do. And then there is the monetary aspect. And these sometimes come into conflict, that besides it being a Torah, you know, a law, a mitzvah that you need to do, it's also a a monetary obligation that is due to the Kohen and is treated lahalacha as such, with all the monetary, with all the ramifications that come with monetary laws, such as most importantly, hamotzi mechavero lavaraya, that you have to have 100% proof before you're able to take money from another person. So the Kohen would absolutely have to be absolutely clear that this kid is chayv in the pinyon aven before you would take the money from the from the parents. But anyways, the Sam Sofer here says, well, maybe you don't even have to have a shliach from the Kohen. You can just say, I'm hereby giving this money to this Kohen, and zachen la'adam shalom afanav. It's certainly a zechus, it's a merit for him to be able to get this money, so therefore I'm hereby giving him this money, even though he doesn't know that he is receiving that money. So the Piskei Tshuva says that, so the Chassam Sofer says that actually would not work. Why? Because the Kohen also, by the Kohen receiving the money, the Matnos Kehuna, he's also doing a mitzvah. And therefore, a mitzvah bo yosu mishlucho. And that's considered to be ideal for him to be able to get the mitzvah directly rather than by way of a shliach. So that being the case, the Kohen says it might not be completely in the Kohen's interest for him to receive that money. So therefore, therefore you can't assume that he would take it by way of zechiah. Therefore, you would need the Kohen's permission and understanding before you go ahead and pronounce that money it should be going to him and to be yotze pinyon aben in that way. Also, he adds in. Right, so then there is the second one, Piskei Tshuva Hei. It discusses the idea of giving the pinyon aben to a woman. So would that work? Aben the Baal Kohenes Kemo Torah, like as the possibility that Tosfos suggests. And So the Kesam Sofer says, look, it is a position in the Rishonim, it is a legitimate possibility. So he says, if somebody is, you get to day 30, and after all of one's trouble, after all of the, you did your Hishtadlus in order to be able to get a Kohen to come, and at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to have a Kohen be able to come on that day. So, so is it at all worth giving it to to the husband of a Kohen on that day in order to be able to say that? So he says, yeah, that to do without a bracha, in order to be yotzei on day 30. He says you could go ahead and do that, but then you should go later on in order to and do a regular pinyan of ben with the regular kohen afterwards. But he suggests that yeah, there would be value in giving it to a husband of a kohen in order to fulfill the obligation in that way. Now this Pesach Teshuva continues on and discusses what is the status of a kohen who you then find that took a lot of money for pinyan of bens over the year and then discovered that he wasn't actually a kohen. So what happens to that money? So that's something that we'll discuss in Yerushalayim in the next share.